Let's turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 6. You know, I really love the Lord, and I'm so thankful that He looks out of every detail of our lives. And boy, I'll tell you, we have a lot of details, don't we? Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verse 23 is the verse we want, but let's start with verse 21. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and look at verse 21. Then shalt thou say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. Notice, he brought us out, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us today. Father, this message today can be very helpful to us. Those of us without Christ can find the Lord Jesus Christ in this preaching and be saved. And those of us with Jesus Christ can understand the marvelous work that he has done in our lives and understand really the opportunity that people we talk to about the Lord Jesus Christ have in coming out from underneath the ways of Egypt and into the promises of the Lord God. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will move in a very special way here today, doing exactly what you want to do. Lord, we can't come to you with some great effort that we've performed tonight and say, Lord, because we have been good, because we are praying, we ask you to do this. We come to you in humility, recognizing that if you do something with this, it's because you wanted to. And if you do something with this, it's because you desire to bring glory to your name and honor to your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and attention to your words. So, Father, it's important now that we not think about us, but that we think about you and what you've done and what you are doing. And we pray by your Holy Spirit that we will gain a much greater appreciation for the salvation that's been offered and the salvation we have for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Now, there were three things going on when the Jews were in Egypt. Let me just give you a quick history. Most of you know this history, but just to bring your attention to the text, Israel had been in bondage as servants in Egypt for years. They showed up down there 215 years before this passage you're reading here. And while they were down there, things started out pretty good, like they do in life. And they got worse and worse and worse until they were in so much affliction, they were crying out to God. And what it is, it's a picture of the way the world introduces us to sin. When we look back on our lives as kids and when we were younger, and somebody offered for us to do something in sin, something in our conscience told us, this isn't really the right thing to be doing. The world made it pleasing and limited the consequences so that we thought, you know what, this is fun, man. I'm enjoying this. I can get away with this. But after a period of time, after a length of time, that sin began to take its toll. And all of a sudden, it's kind of like, you know what, I don't need to be doing this anymore. But a lot of times when that happens, you can't quit. You can't quit. One of the most dangerous things that's being offered to kids today is crack cocaine. Because there is a mental addiction that goes along with the physical addiction, and I think it's probably more mental than it is anything, that won't let them go. You'll find fellas that get caught and they go to prison for 10 years and come out and go back to it like they never left it. And what that is, it's bondage. Well, these Jews were in bondage as slaves in Egypt. And there were three things going on down there. And God finally said, I've got to answer their prayers and send Moses down there to deliver them. These things they're going through are awful. First was the cruel slavery, because Pharaoh just made life more and more miserable for him. And when Moses did first approach him about the Jews going out, you know, he just increased the bondage and the slavery, cruel slavery, a hopeless future, because there was no way Israel was going to be able to leave without the intervention of God, and the slaughter of their children. As you know, Pharaoh, because he was worried about how populous, how big Israel was becoming, started having all of the baby boys killed and drowned in the river. Those are horrible things going on. Cruel slavery, hopeless future, and the death and slaughter of their children. God had to bring them out of there. He had to get them out of there. But let me tell you something. It wasn't just going to exchange one bad circumstance for another bad circumstance. He had to bring them out of Egypt so he could take them through the wilderness and into the promised land. He brought them out so he could bring them in. And in the promised land, they would be free, no longer subject to cruel slavery. They would have a bright and certain future, not the hopeless future that they had before. And they would be able to live and not worry about the death of their children. God said, if you will obey my commandments, I will allow you to all have children, and I will allow those children to grow to their full age. And man, that's a tremendous promise. You know something? That picture of what you see God doing with Israel in Egypt and taking them through the wilderness into the promised land is just like what God does for us when he saves us from sin and the lives that we had before we got saved. He brings us out of bondage to bring us into liberty. In Egypt, the Jews were enslaved servants. But when Moses went to Pharaoh, he threatened him. He said, listen, if you don't let Israel go, I'm going to destroy your firstborn son. And here's how he put it to him. He said, the Lord said, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. Let my son go. If you won't let him go, I'm going to kill your firstborn son. That's what he said in in Exodus chapter 4, verses 22 and 23. They left as enslaved servants and arrived that night in the wilderness as free children of God. That quick, God took care of that problem. Everything for them changed in a night. As a matter of fact, that night was over 3,500 years ago. And the Jews still commemorate that night to this day, every spring, with the Passover service. They've never forgotten what God did for them 3,500 years ago. You know what? All of us were in bondage as the servants of sin. Jesus Christ was talking to the Pharisees, and they got in a big argument. They always did. You know how people say, I don't like to talk about religion and politics? The Pharisees always got in religious arguments with Jesus Christ. And they were concerned about politics. And in the course of a conversation, listen what Jesus Christ said. He said, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. You do it because sin in you says it's time to do it again. And you know what? We've all been in bondage as servants of sin. And we've all sought liberty, or most of us have sought liberty, in religion. How many of you, when you were younger, strayed away from church for a little while and did something really bad and then said, you know what I need to do? I need to go back to church and straighten this out. I did that. You know what I found out? That I was trying to exchange the slavery of sin for the slavery of religion. What I was doing when I was going to church was not solving the problem. It just took me from one bad circumstance to another bad circumstance, which is not what Jesus Christ did for Israel. And what I mean by that is this. When you were the servant of sin, you said, I got to start doing something better than this. So you start going, and guess what? All of a sudden they tell us, well, you got to be here now. And you got to do this particular sacrament. Or like we talked the other day, you got to sit down now. You got to stand up now. You got to kneel down now. You got to go tell that man what you've been doing. And he'll tell you what you need to do about that. You know what that is? That's like a slave owner telling you. That's not liberty. That's not freedom. We go from bondage of sin to bondage of do's and don'ts. And the whole purpose of that is to be righteous enough so that when we die, we can stand before God and hope that He will judge us righteous enough to be able to make it to heaven. And we're not even sure. That's frustrating. There's no liberty in that. When God got those Jews out of Egypt, their bondage was done in a night. When they stepped across that Red Sea, it was over. They left slavery behind, and they were now walking in liberty. Their bondage was finished. You know something? Jesus Christ is our liberty. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And if the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Jesus Christ already paid all of the necessary obligations. The Jewish religion at the time of Jesus Christ, particularly under the structure of the Pharisees, was the strictest religion on earth. There's none any stricter. There may be some as strict, but there's none any stricter. And do you know something? The Bible says, in accordance with all of the do's and don'ts of his religion, he never sinned in 33 and a half years. And he said, you know what I'll do? If you will become my child, if you will receive me, I am going to give you a liberty that allows you to enjoy the fact that I already fulfilled the law and you can have my fulfilled righteousness as a gift. You know what that is? That takes away the slavery. We become righteous in Jesus Christ and we become a child of God. And you know what? It takes place in a moment. For the Jews, it was when they left Pharaoh and walked out into the wilderness. And for us, it's when we bow our knee before the Lord and say, God, save me. And you get up and you are a child of God and you have your liberty in Jesus Christ. Oh, man, that's a good thing. He had to bring us out in order to bring us in to liberty. But you know something else? He not only brought them out of bondage and brought them into liberty, he brought them out of darkness and brought them into light. What was the last plague in Egypt? Right before the Jews left? Can you remember? There are 10 plagues. It was darkness. And the Bible says that darkness was so thick that you could feel it. Have you ever experienced darkness like that? Any of you ever been in a cave with the lights out? I have. I mean, that's dark. And I mean, it's oppressive is what it is. It's oppressive. Well, the Jews left Egypt in the middle of the night. You know what Egypt is? Egypt is in what continent? Africa. And what is one of the names for that continent? The Dark Continent. The Dark Continent. And they left the Dark Continent and went out. You say, but how did they have light if they left by night? Well, they all had LED flashlights. You didn't know that? And ever-ready batteries. Oops. No. They had God. They had the Lord. The Bible says when they went out there at that night, the Lord led them by a pillar of fire. And that fire was visible to them at night, and in the daytime it was a pillar of a cloud. They always had the presence of the Lord. They had the light of the Lord with them. You know something? Every man and every woman in religion without the righteousness of Jesus Christ is in darkness. And you know why? Because you don't have any certainty what's going to happen to you after you die. I mean, you hope you know, and you think you know, but you don't know. You say, how do you know that? Well, we've done a lot of personal work over the years. I grew up in religion, but I've also done a lot of personal work. I don't know how many, literally thousands of people that I've talked to one-on-one, but I will say to them something like this. If you were to die tonight, are you 100% sure where you'd go? And you know what they say? I'm not sure. I don't know. Well, then you know what that is? That is a person heading in a direction, but they're not really sure where they're going. That's like driving in darkness. That's like saying, let's go tonight, turn off the lights without any moon, let's drive a while, and when the sun rises, we'll see where we ended up. Oh, this isn't Houston. You know, how did I get to Big Bend? Didn't know I was going that way. Jesus Christ doesn't want us to be that uncertain about our destination. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Listen, I don't want to. There came a time in my life, like it came in many of your lives, that you said, you know what? I don't want to be in the dark anymore. If you don't know something, they'll say, do you know about such and such? No, he said, man, I don't have a clue. I'm in the dark. Well, you can have a clue. You can come out of that darkness in Jesus Christ. You know how you can come out of that darkness in Jesus Christ? Because Jesus Christ said, I am the what? Light of the world. And if you have Jesus Christ, you have light, and that light gives you a certain direction on where you're going. Listen, how many of you have ever been offshore and come back to the beach? Back to the bay. How'd you find your way back in if you didn't have GPS? You know what you did? You found the lights on the shore. And on these big harbors where there's some places that you have to be careful about, they have buoys in the low light so that you can find your way to the channel. And what do they have way out there that circulates around so everybody can see it for a long way away? The lighthouse. Jesus Christ is the lighthouse. And once you have him, you know exactly where you're going. The devil prefers darkness. That's what he is. He's the ruler of the darkness of the air. Jesus Christ, he wants light. He doesn't want you to be uncertain. He wants you to know. I'll read something to you about what happens to a man or a woman or a child when he or she receives the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. He says, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. Now, I can vouch for that one. Listen, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I'll tell you what, it is nice to put my head down on my pillow at night and know if I don't wake up in the morning, I'll be in heaven. Not because of what I've done, not because of the do's and don'ts, but because of what Jesus Christ has done. He takes us out of darkness and he puts us in the light. But that's not all. He had to bring us out of bondage to bring us into liberty. He had to bring us out of darkness to bring us into light. He has to bring us out of death to bring us into life. Their babies were being killed. Those people over there, when they were in Egypt, were dying from the cruel bondage. Their wages, because they were slaves, were death. And you know what the Bible says? The wages of sin is death. When God freed them from Egypt, they wandered around in the wilderness how long? That's how long they spied out the land, but how long did they wander in the wilderness? 40 years. Do you know something? In 40 years of living in the wilderness, the Jews never paid for anything. God gave them the water for free. God brought the manna from heaven. They simply picked up the manna and ate. They simply drank the water, And they moved along through that wilderness. God took care of them as His children 40 years and didn't charge them a dime. You know how much salvation in Jesus Christ costs? Nothing. It is a free gift. He says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's nothing in religion, any religion, there's nothing in religion that can impart life to you. Life comes from Jesus Christ. It doesn't come later after you die, hoping that you've done good enough. It comes as a gift for you now. Listen what the Bible says. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You know where I was before I got saved? The Bible says I was dead in trespasses and sins. God had to bring me out of death to bring me into life. You know where you were before you got saved? You were dead in trespasses and sins. You say, how do you know that? Because that's what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2. We were walking around. We were like, you ever look at people like that and say, man, they're walking around like they're dead men. That's because that's what they are. And when you get saved and trust the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, a life comes inside of you. And Jesus Christ said, I have come that they might have life and that they might have life more abundantly. Now, I've been saved for many years. You couldn't have always told it when I was younger. Took a detour, but I'm going to tell you something. You would think after a period of time in this Christian life that I would have gotten to a plateau and said, you know, I've learned enough and I'm doing good enough. This is good right here. I don't know how it is, Brother Bivin, but you know what? It just gets better every year. The life of God seems to consume more of my thoughts and more of my heart and more of my way, and it just gets better and better with time. I'm like, wow, if it gets much better than this, I'm not going to be able to take it. But I'd like to try. And I'm, you know what? And I'm absolutely serious. You know, you're smiling because you understand that. It's not like it was when you first got saved. It's like now it's just all-encompassing in your life. That's what He had to do. He had to bring us out of death and bring us into life. Now, I told a story recently, but I want to tell it again. Okay? And the reason is you don't remember every detail about it, and I want to make sure you know all the details. Many years, it was a couple or three or four years ago. I don't remember when it was. We had a young fellow coming from the neighborhood over here, remember? Ivan Rodriguez. He was from Puerto Rico. And he knew a lot of Bible, and I'd go over to study Bible with him. And one day the Woods went over to see him, and they came back to me and said, you know what we think his problem is? And I said, he's got a problem? What's his problem? He said, we don't think he's saved. I said, well, let's just keep inviting him to church and see what happens. And he came to church when we had one of those special evangelistic services. And at the end of the preaching, he came forward, and I was like, wow. And I said, what are you doing here? And he said, I need to get saved. I need to get saved. So we prayed together, and he received the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And man, when he got up, he had such a smile on his face. You know what he was? He was Seventh-day Adventist. And he knew a lot of Bible because he had studied a lot of Bible in his religion. But he wasn't saved. He was still in darkness. He was still in bondage. He was still in death. And he came into light, and he came into liberty, and he came into to life. Well, he wanted me to go and see his wife. And you'll remember she was 8.5 months pregnant and very tired. And the last person in this whole city that she wanted to see was this preacher. She even said to her husband when she got home from work, she was a nurse, she laid on the sofa like that and big baby up here on her belly, and she rubbed her belly and she goes, oh, I sure hope the preacher doesn't come tonight. Bing bong. I mean, no longer had she gotten it out of her mouth, and there I was. It happens like that. And so I walked in and she was gracious. I didn't know this until later. And we began to talk, and I got the Bible, you know, and I began to show her what I've told you tonight, but scriptures like we've shown you and many of you, and going through all that. And she looked at all that, and I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit was revealing the truth of those words to her. And she said to me after all that, I said, so now you see all of that, what do you think? And she said, I think I need to get saved. I said, well, don't you want some more time to think about this? She said, She said, "Preacher, I don't need any more time to think about this. I see it now. My husband's been trying to explain this. I see it now. I want to get saved." I said, "Well, do you know how?" She said, "How?" I said, "You need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior." She said, "Well, that's what it said. Okay, that's what I want to do." Now, here we are sitting like Barry is here, and this is the sofa. Her husband's over there in the recliner. So I said, "Bow your head." So she bowed her head, and in her own words, she prayed to receive Jesus Christ as her Savior. And when she was finished praying, she was sitting there like that, and she raised up her face like this, and she goes, "I'm free!" And with that big old belly, turned around and grabbed me and gave me a big old hug, then ran over there and gave her husband a big old hug, and she said, "I got it, I got it, I got life, I'm free, I'm saved, thank God." 3 weeks later, he got a job change, and they moved to Pennsylvania. God had them here and had the timing just right. Just right. But you know what? She came out of bondage and went into liberty. Came out of a dead Orthodox religion and came into life. She came out of darkness and came into light. That's what happens when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's why getting saved is a real good deal. Amen? Father, we're thankful today to be able to see from the Scripture the truth of the words of God. I'm asking you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us tonight to realize that we really have the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the answer for all those that are in bondage and darkness and death, if they'll sit and listen and we'll take it to them. I pray, Heavenly Father, we'll know the reality of what we've heard tonight and be unashamed to tell others. I also pray tonight, Father, that any without Christ would see this is too good an offer to pass up. And like Yvonne's wife, Yo Maris, they would say, "Tonight is a great time to be saved." I ask you to do these things in Jesus' name. Amen.